Pure Awareness. His army had been defeated and the kingdom lost forever. Escaping his enemies, the exhausted King Janak wandered through the dense forest for days looking for shelter. Then, one evening, he came upon a small thatched hut in a clearing in the forest. His hopes rose, and emboldened, he knocked on the door. A woman cracked open one window and peered out. She did not recognize the king and refused to open the door to the man dressed in filthy, torn robes. "Sister, if you cannot give me shelter, at least give me some food. I haven't eaten a meal in days." "Here are some lentils and water," she said, thrusting a pot out through the window. "You can use the firewood piled in the garden to light a fire and make yourself some soup," she said. The wood was damp with the evening dew, and it took a long time to get a fire going. But the king was relieved to have finally found something to eat. As the fragrance of the lentils slowly simmering in the pot wafted in the air, the king's mouth watered with anticipation. Finally, hours later, his eyes bleary with smoke, his hands blackened with soot, the famished king had just settled under a banyan tree to drink the steaming soup when two wild boars came crashing through the forest, squealing and fighting. They knocked over the bowl from his hand, sloshing the soup in the mud. It was the last straw. Throwing his arms out to the heavens above, the king cried out in rage when his fingers grasped something soft. He looked at his hands and saw that he was clutching at his blanket. Astounded, he looked around and realized he was in his royal bed. His servants were fanning him, while his beautiful queen lay by his side asleep. It had just been a dream. All was well. But the king's life had changed forever. Was that a dream, or is this a dream? He wondered anxiously. Maybe I am really defeated in battle, starving outside a lone hut in a far-off jungle, and dreaming that everything is normal. Who am I? What is the real self? None of his trusted advisors had answers. So the king hosted a grand debate of the most important and wisest men in his kingdom to answer the question. He announced that one who can answer this question and lead him to self-realization shall be his master. And if he fails, he will be imprisoned. Scholars and sages of all traditions and ideologies were invited. They debated and argued over the question the whole day. One of the invited sages was Kahura. When he did not return home till late evening, his wife Sujata sat by the window and waited for him. A passerby informed her that the debate in the court had reached the climax. Her husband had defeated all others and was now in the final debating argument with the great scholar Vandin. But everyone was sure that Kahura would not win against the mighty Vandin. Fearing her husband's impending imprisonment, Sujata grew worried. "Don't worry, mother. I'll go to the palace and find out what's taking father so long," proclaimed Ashtavakra, her 12-year-old son. Sujata hesitated, wondering if she should stop the boy from going, for she feared ridicule because the boy was born deformed. Ashtavakra's body was bent at 8 places: the 2 feet, the 2 knees, the 2 hands, the chest, and the head. His shoulder poked out at one end, while one leg was twisted at the ankle. He could not hold his head straight because his neck was bent and walked with a strange gait. Hence they named him Ashtavakra, Ashta meaning 8 and Vakra meaning crooked. But she did not have the heart to stop the boy. As Ashtavakra slowly hobbled into the court that evening, the grand assembly broke out in laughter, making jokes, jeering at this freak of nature. The king was about to order his court to stop embarrassing the boy when he noticed the boy too was roaring with laughter. "I can understand why they are laughing, boy. But why are you laughing? Said King Janak. I am laughing because questions of truth and self-realization are being decided by an assembly of cobblers. I came here expecting to see scholars. What are all these cobblers doing here? A furious silence fell upon the court. Cobblers? Shoemakers? What do you mean? The king asked quietly. Your assembly is an assembly of leather workers. They can only see my outer form, my external deformities, but they cannot see who I am on the inside. Those who judge a man by his skin are no better than cobblers. The king was impressed. He realized this was no ordinary boy. Your Majesty, when a pot is smashed, the sky inside it does not smash with it. It remains as before, unfractured and whole. My body may be twisted on the outside, limited by form and time, but I am not. But your assembly of wise men cannot see this. These men debate upon deep questions of real and unreal, of self-realization and enlightenment, but cannot look beyond my skin, Ashtavakra said. The king glanced back at his court, and everyone held down their head in shame. Nobody could refute the boy's observation. You are right. I have gathered an assembly of leather workers. Forgive us for our remarks, the king said. Janak invited the boy to the court and gave him a separate seat. You deserve a seat here more than anyone else. He posed the same question to him. Tell me, O wise one, what is real, this or that? Am I a king or a beggar? Neither beggar nor king is real. Your existence as a beggar was false and fleeting, and so is your time as a king. They both are illusions. How can that which constantly changes from one thing to another be real? All forms arise, mingle, separate, and disappear like waves in the ocean. This whole world is an illusion, nothing more. When you understand this fully, desire falls away. Then who is real? The one that remains awake, unchanging, unfathomable, formless, the witness of all things, is the real. O King, know that you are pure awareness. But O wise one, how do I renounce this world and grasp this real self? How do I free myself from this bondage of illusions? You are already free. What does a free person need to renounce? You are not bound by anything. Your only bondage is that you have long been trapped in the snare of identification with your senses. With this knowledge as your sword, cut through your shackles of your identification with your senses. The moment you acknowledge your freedom, you will be liberated. The choice is always yours. King Janak bowed down to the boy, having recognized in him the presence and wisdom of an enlightened one. And the 12-year-old Ashtavakra accepted King Janak as his disciple.